Today's topic is everlasting love. And I could talk about how love will go on forever in eternity. I could do that. Because if you trust in Jesus, your destination is love. Your gifts, whether it's a gift of healing or whether it's a gift of preaching, they're only temporary. All the gifts we have, they are, as the Lloyds Bank says, for the journey. Remember that quote from Lloyds Bank? Gifts are for the journey, but the destination is love. You won't need any preachers in heaven. I'm out of a job. Hopefully not before that, but I'm out of a job when I get there. Because love is your destination. And I could talk about that. You know, God's love is everlasting. But what I really want to focus on today is loving for a lifetime, having a lasting love in this life for people who are really difficult. Do you know any difficult people? Loving someone with a love that is everlasting in the sense it's lasting, like the love of Jesus, which always perseveres, it always believes and trusts, it always hopes, it always protects, it endures. That kind of love I want to talk about, the love of Jesus in our hearts for difficult people. Because I'm sure we all have met them on occasions. Somebody might even think, oh, I am one. Right, so in the human culture of today, there is a desire for permanency of a solid, loving relationship. I mean, and sometimes we catch glimpses of it. My mother, she's been a friend with a lady called Jean for 56 years. They met at NatWest Bank and they've been friends ever since. They see each other every week, pretty much, and phone each other every week. Pretty much for 56 years. They're real friends. And there's a little glimpse of what I would call everlasting love in the sense of for this life. And in the culture, there are some songs out there where there's this cry for permanency. There's one song called Everlasting Love by Robert Knight. And it's a cry about wanting something that lasts and that doesn't just evaporate after a few months. And if you go to Paris, I know two people in the room have recently gone to Paris, the place of romance. There used to be, I mean, they had to stop it in the end because the bridge was becoming so heavy that it broke. There's something where they put padlocks on the bridge. It's not just husbands and wives, it's also friends, it's family, siblings. They put a padlock on to say, our love is locked in, it's going to last, it's going to be battle tested, it's going to be time tested, it's going to endure through all weathers, I'm committed to you, it's consistent, that kind of love for life. And it's very popular. There are 20 of these bridges in the world. This one over the River Seine, they had to close in the end, unfortunately, or take the padlocks off, purely because the whole thing's collapsing. So popular. But do you know what they do? Here's a padlock. What they do when they do this, right, to show their commitment, they put it on the bridge, they turn the key, and they throw the key. In the River Seine, they throw it away and say, I'm committed. Okay? So there is that. It's in the culture. There's these rituals we do to express this desire for something solid, please, not something that's going to let me down. Well, we're going to see that really, it's only the love of Jesus that is really going to be like this. Human love does fail. Human love does give up. But the love of Jesus does not. And he can put that love in us. Now, we're not going to be perfect in this life, not before heaven. But we can grow in the love of Jesus for people. We can grow into it. But where do we read about this love of Jesus? How can we best describe it? Well, it's found in verse 7 of today's reading, which is there. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That is a great description or consummation, if you like, or summary of the love of Jesus. That's how Jesus loves you. You might not feel it sometimes, but that's how he loves you. It's something that endures through this life. And the good thing about the love of Jesus, it also goes on forever and ever once you're dead. So, just some other meanings of these words, because different translations translate it differently. So, always protects can also be translated, in some versions, always supports. Love is always supporting you. Some older translations call it bearing all things. But it doesn't just mean putting up with you, bearing you. It's more to do with protection and support. Trust can mean believe. Hope can mean expecting the best of you. Jesus always expects the best of you, as in the sense he doesn't write you off. Jesus never writes anyone off in this room. He's got hope for you. Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in trust. He believes in you. He believes in what God is doing in you. He really does. And he perseveres, endures the worst. He endured the cross because he thought you were so valuable. And love never fails. It never collapses. That's another translation. It never collapses like an exhausted person at the end of a marathon. Jesus' love doesn't collapse at the end of the marathon. It keeps on going. Okay, so I'm going to look at those phrases. And first I'll start with love always protects. I know that part of the meaning of this phrase, love always protects, can have the sense of it covers over with silence. And what I mean by that is if someone is doing something wrong, although love is not afraid to confront sin and rebuke, it's not scared to stand up and say, look, that's wrong. But what love will do, it will seek to cover with silence the sin, in the sense it will seek to suppress it, and it's not going to delight in, ooh, do you know what Ray got up to? Sorry, Ray, I'm just picking on you. Do you know what Ray got? Ooh, gossip. Yeah, ooh, it doesn't delight in dragging someone into a scandal. Love will seek to protect. It will seek to put a mantle of kindness over what is going on. I used to work, I'm trying to illustrate this, in health and safety. And they used to teach us about dust suppression. When you're in a dusty construction site, the way to keep the dust down, to suppress all the dust going over, is to spray water as a covering over all the dust so that people don't start coughing and getting all the dust in their lungs. And the meaning of love always protects is that it seeks to cover with kindness the fault. It's disposed to cover the ugliness rather than delight in pointing out the fault to others. You know the cartoon The Simpsons? Well, there's a character who loves to point out people's faults and laugh at them. Whenever someone does something wrong, he goes, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, and he sort of points it out. And naturally speaking, humans, we want to highlight what someone's up to. But love throws a kindly mantle over the faults, a kindly covering over the weaknesses and failures. You know, in the Corinthian church, they were almost waiting to expose their fellow congregation members. There was jealousy. But you know, love doesn't pounce on people. It's not eager to pounce and denounce. Love will cover the worst as far as is possible without being afraid to call it out, but it won't publicise what someone's going through. Do you know this verse? I really like this verse in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It says, love covers over a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean it says, oh, sin's okay. But what it does, if you know someone who's difficult, and you know they're doing wrong things, you might gently speak to them, but you don't proclaim what they're up to. I was reminded of Noah and his sons, if you know that story. When Noah did something really wrong, he got drunk. He was lying naked in his tent. One of the sons, he went, ha ha, ha ha, look at dad, he's naked, you know, he's got drunk. Yeah. But the other sons, they walk backwards with a blanket and they cover their dad. Love covers the multitude of sins. You see, they wanted to love him. Right, next one. Love always trusts, okay? Love always trusts. Now, a person you know might be behaving very selfishly. They might be behaving like a black hole. You know, a black hole, everything's about me. Sucking, you know, a black hole. Have you ever been near a black hole in space? No, you haven't. But it sucks everything in. It's all about me. It's like a plug hole in the bath almost as well. And people might behave like that and you might get really wound up. But what you do is you choose to trust. If you're praying for them, if you're praying for that difficult person, you choose to trust that Jesus is doing something in them. You know, you trust that Jesus is at work in their life. You give them the benefit of doubt. You don't write them off. I like Star Wars. I don't know if anyone else likes Star Wars. Yeah, great. We've got a couple of fans here. Well, there's a scene in Star Wars where, if you don't know Star Wars, Darth Vader, he's a dark lord from the evil side. And there's Luke Skywalker, who's on the good side. He's a Jedi Knight, and he's good. But it turns out that Darth Vader is actually Luke Skywalker's dad. And that they've been, like, enemies. And then he kind of realizes, they find out. And at one point in the story, Luke meets Darth Vader, his dad, who's become evil. And he says to him, I know there is good in you. You know, it's like this love, believing, always believes, always trusts. He says, I know there's some good left in you. And that's the challenge. When you've got someone who's a real pain, who's really difficult, if you're praying for them, you say, well, I believe that Jesus is at work in them. You don't write them off. You know, love is not suspicious. There's nothing more loveless than suspicion. Being cynical and suspicion, assuming the worst. Oh, they're just awful. They always do this. Love believes the best. It believes the best. It's eager to believe the best in spite of their failure. Now, if you've been hurt by somebody, it's very difficult, isn't it, to trust them. You're very wary. There's an old saying, I don't know if you know this idiom, it's called waiting for the other shoe to drop. Have you heard of that? It's basically an idiom which says, oh, well, they've let me down before, they're going to let me down again. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. They drop one shoe, sooner or later, I'm expecting the worst, they're going to drop the next shoe. They're going to let me down again. But you see, rather than being like that, you can say, love believes, love trusts. I'm going to believe Jesus is at work in that person. And you choose to come alongside them, say, look, I'm going to still stick with you. I'm not going to give up on you. There's potential in you. Choose trust then over writing them off and over suspicion. Love trusts, love believes. Can I give you two examples I thought of? One is if I ask my children to cut the grass and I come home and it's dark and they still haven't done it. Now I've got a choice. I can either lay into them and say, what have you lazy little tykes? Why haven't you cut the grass? Or I can, rather than just being suspicious, I can say, well, what happened? And they could say, well, Dad, the neighbour next door collapsed. Me and Mum went round there and we were helping the neighbour. And then it became dark and it was too late to do the grass. See, I could choose to believe in them than just be suspicious immediately. Another example, you hear about all your friends invited to something. They get invited to a party and you're not invited. So you think, they hate me. But then you check your phone and find out, actually, they did text you, but you never read the text. You were invited. You know, it's that kind of thing. Love trusts. It doesn't just be suspicious. Right, the third point. Love always hopes. You know, Jesus once said something about something to Peter. Peter came to Jesus and he asked him this. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Jesus says, no, not seven times. 70 times 7. It's in Matthew 18. Now, why did Jesus say that? He said it because what he's trying to say is human failure does not always have the last word if God's grace is at work. If you're praying for someone who's difficult or you know someone, you're trying to help someone who's really difficult, it's not failure if God's grace is at work. That's why Jesus said, no, you've got to forgive them 70 times 7 because one day they're going to be all right. It's so easy to give up on people. Now, just because someone's difficult or even hurt you, it doesn't mean that you have to spend all your time with them. It's like if someone is really hurting you, if someone is nasty to you, they can be like a bramble. You know, a bramble, it cuts you. You don't need to spend all your time rubbing up against the bramble. There may be a time when you just don't go near the person if they're difficult and they're hurting you. But you don't give up praying for them. You don't. You hope that Jesus is going to do something in that person. And I just want to challenge myself and all of us here. When we pray for people, what's our attitude like? Is our attitude ever hopeful? Do we hope for that really difficult person who's so anti-God? So anti-God. When we pray for them, do we have ever hopeful attitude? This attitude of prayer, whether it's in your family, a friend, a colleague, or even someone in the church who's rubbing you up the wrong way. So the last point of this, love always perseveres. Some translations say love endures. It always endures. It doesn't give up on people who are difficult. Well, the word persevere is a military word. It's a military word. It's kind of got the idea that you're a soldier and it's a battle. It's tough. There's suffering involved, but you keep going. And the soldier in this kind of imagery of perseverance, it's a soldier that doesn't die. It's not killed off. You can't kill real love, Jesus' love. You can't kill it. It doesn't die. It's never completely overwhelmed. Song of Songs says in chapter 8, verse 7, many waters cannot put out love or quench love. I've got a friend called Robin Cowcutt. Some of you know him. Part of his thing is seeing homeless people. He gets a train, he goes off to London, and he prays about it. He feels called to do it. He spends some of his days wandering around asking the Lord to lead him to a homeless person in London. And he has, by his God's grace, he has led a few of them to Christ. Some have got baptized. And there's one particular lady who he found on the streets in London. And he felt the Lord speaking to him to help her. And he and his wife have spent a lot of time with this lady. And sometimes they'd be so tempted to give up. They'd be so tempted to just throw in the towel and say, I'm not persevering. I'm not enduring this. There've been lots of problems and hassles. But lots of time, and eventually this person has come off drugs. This person has come off alcohol. This person is now in a rehab teen challenge center going through Christian discipleship. And she called Robin and Lizzie mum and dad. She said, that's my mum and dad. And he said to me at coffee on Friday, he said, I was so tempted to give up. This week, Robin and Lizzie have driven 800 miles helping this person. Twice to Bournemouth, twice to Swansea, or once to Swansea, something like that. But love endures, puts up with it like a soldier. Love endures the worst. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Some scholars think also that this word endurance, persevering, can also be used in a bit like a roof, protecting. That's a picture of an Israelite house in the first century. They had flat roofs. And the roof would be there. The roof would protect no matter how bad the heat got. No matter how bad it was hot, because it used to get hot in Israel. It would be a kind of an enduring protection over the residents within. And if it rained terribly, no matter how bad the rain got, the roof would be an enduring protection for the people within. And that's that imagery of love always endures. It always protects. It's like a roof of protection over these difficult people who God calls us to love. God sometimes calls you to love difficult people. I once lived in a flat, and the person in the flat below me was really, really, really difficult. And he was a Christian. He was a lovely Christian man, but he was really difficult. And I had to learn, I don't know how well, but I had to learn to just keep loving, persevering. Let me just read this quote I read somewhere. Love bears all wounds, all disappointments, believes the best about others, gently throws a mantle over their faults, and when believing is betrayed, it still hopes because God is still God. And when hope gets bashed up, love still perseveres and endures because God is still on the throne, sovereign and in control and able to change. Now, I don't know if any of you know anyone really difficult, or maybe you will come across them later in life. But, you know, sometimes you might say, why, Lord? Why this person? Why this person? That's so hard work. And God might be using it to chisel you, to chisel you into the image of Jesus, to chop off the bits, chisel. You know, like there's a lovely sketch on the internet called God's Chisel. I recommend you look it up. Go on YouTube and type in God's Chisel. There's a sketch of two guys, one with a chisel, chopping off, hitting bits off another guy. It's a kind of comedy, but it's serious as well. And God sometimes uses difficult people to change us and make us more Christ-like into the image of his Son. Can we ever love people in the same way Jesus does? You know, it's a bit far-fetched, isn't it? To love people who are difficult. How can we ever do it? Well, I want to just give you three tips. Three tips that I found useful. I've been thinking about this week. The first one is that you need to come to a fresh understanding of God's love for you. We know God loves us in our head, but you need to come to a fresher place of understanding and resting in that love. This man, George Matheson, he had a girlfriend. He loved her. He loved her to bits. But he started to go blind. And the girlfriend said to him one day, "I can't marry a blind man. I'm going to leave you." He was heartbroken. She wouldn't stay with him. It was a human love that let him go. But you know, through that pain, he discovered a love that would not let him go. God's love would not let him go. And he wrote that hymn, "O love that will not let me go." But from that place of pain, he was able to love other people, even though they might wound him to the bone. You know, some people will wound you to the bone. Some people will treat you worse. A dog will treat you better than a human being. People will walk over you sometimes. And you need to just come into that place of just coming to know the love that will not let you go. It's true. That's what he discovered. And so my three tips are these. The first point is realize afresh how deeply Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus always protects us when we don't deserve it. I know when I've gone into sin in my life in the past, Jesus has looked after me and I didn't deserve his protection. Jesus always believes and trusts in us, even when you do sin. Can I tell you a very quick story? One of my daughters came home one day from school in tears. She was in tears because the teacher had told her off. Because she was wearing jewellery in the classroom. The teacher told her off and she came to me, "Daddy, I've been into trouble." And she said, "Daddy, does Jesus still believe in me?" I was like, "Of course he does. It's forgiveness. He forgives you." And I want to tell you that Jesus believes in you. He believes in you. You've got to find that to be true. And he hopes for you. And he endures for you. He endured the cross for you. He loves you so much. You know, Jesus could have come off the cross. He could have come down from the cross. When they said, "Come down from the cross." He could have come down from the cross. He had the power. He chose to endure it. For the love of you. And for his Father. Love never fails. Jesus' love never collapses. You can punch it. You can insult it. But it says in John 13 verse 1. Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. That's Christ's attitude to you. Now, if he's got that attitude to you, we should have it to people. Tip two for loving difficult people is this. Is don't beat yourself up when you fail. Rejoice, you are a work in progress. You know, you will fail to love that annoying neighbour. Or that family member who is anti-God. Or that person you're trying to come alongside who is a complete nightmare. You will fail. But it's okay. Because Jesus forgives. You know, it says in the Bible, love rejoices in the truth. Well, the truth is, Jesus knows the truth about us. He knows we're not perfect on the earth. He knows that. So don't despair. Go back to the cross. Get forgiven. Say, "Lord, I've fallen off the horse." Jesus will say, "I forgive you, get back on the horse." If you fall off the horse, get back on the horse. Just get forgiven and come back. I'll say, "I'll love them again, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness." You're a work in progress. Right, and the last point is, I want you to, this is a real challenge. I've been thinking about this. Can you think of one person you could love better? Think of one person you could love better. So, let me just say this. Love is patient. Right, question. Who have you lost patience with this week? Karina's looking at me. Who have you lost patience with this week? Lord, help me with that person, that difficult person. Love is kind. Right, who were you unkind to this week? Love does not boast. Who did you brag to this week? Love does not dishonour others. Who did you dishonour this week? Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Who were you angry with this week? Resentful. Who do you struggle to forgive? I've faced that. I think there's a few people I've had to really struggle to forgive. Who did you write off this week? Anyone? It says love always believes, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Is there anyone you've written off this week and said, well, they're going to go to hell. There's no point. It's not the attitude of love. You just go, Lord, help me with that difficult person. I want to know the love of Jesus myself, and I want to grow in it. God wants us to love people like this padlock. Committed. Until they die. Then you can't love them anymore. Okay? So a love that endures, survives, can be wounded to the bone, but it's the work of God's Spirit within us. Let's pray. Lord, when we read about the description of love here, we know we fail. But thank you that Jesus, this is your love. Help us be filled with your love afresh each week. Help us discover your love to us afresh, Lord. Help us love people with the love of Jesus. And when we fail, it's okay. You say, I forgive you. Get on the horse and try again. Help us. Thank you that we're a work in progress. But thank you one day, Lord. It's going to be all love. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these things is love for all eternity. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.